This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Chuang and Xiaoning. I forgot your name for a moment, Chuang.
You had a moment, did you?
Yeah, I had a moment.
Just as I did a few minutes ago.
But at this moment, this current moment, we are going to be talking about the temporary measures for the Government Financing Bill 2020, which is supposed to mitigate the impact of COVID-19, which has left quite bad economic scar tissue on our economy. So the bill, of course, seeks to raise our self-imposed debt ceiling from 55% to 60%. Now, with sluggish economic activity not about to be revived anytime soon, some economists, of course, see it necessary to increase government spending in order to keep the wheels of the economy going.
Yeah, even Lim Guan Eng, the former finance minister, has suggested rolling out another round of stimulus package amounting to 45 billion ringgit on top of providing financial aid to SMEs and extending loan moratoriums for another 6 months.
So do we actually need another stimulus package, and should it be actually, if it's rolled out, what form should it take? So weighing in on this is Lau Cheng Chou, research manager in the Economics and Business Unit at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Ideas or Affairs. Good morning, Lau. Now, former Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng says another 45 billion of stimulus is needed to help Malaysians weather the impact of COVID-19. Given that many consider quarter two to be the worst in terms of the economy, do we really need one? And do you think it will help to prevent deflation?
Good morning. I think for stimulus packages, is usually associated with something more of a temporary measure, more of a stopgap measure to absorb shocks introduced to the economy. But I guess we should also focus now on something of a mid to long-term plan for recovery and also for industries to be able to revitalize. I guess if stimulus packages or additional spending were to focus a bit more on new impetus for growth, that would be a way forward. But at the same time, I'm also aware that some segments of the population may struggle to adapt. So there should be also focus to extend the protection-based measures, perhaps a bit more targeted. So I don't see it as a binary choice between, should you do it or not, but it's more of how do you spend it.
Yeah, Lau, so some think that the only way out of this slump is for the government to spend more, even if it means raising the debt limit. Do you agree?
I think the Ministry of Finance and the minister himself has already communicated that it is expected for the debt limit to be increased. I think that is in line with the experience by our neighboring countries and also countries all over the world. But it's very important for us to understand that in relative terms, that in itself might not be very meaningful. So if we understood that in proportion to GDP, I think it's very important if we can understand where these newly created funds will be spent into. If we can also, at the same time, communicate to the financial market, communicate to the public, how do we finance it? What would be a sustainable manner to finance it? Then I think there is room for us to consider.
So Lau, how should we spend the money then? Who needs the help? How should the stimulus be targeted at or whom?
Yes, sure. If you look at data from, say, the employment insurance scheme, over 60% of the labour who apply for employment insurance are those who earn less than 3,000 ringgit per month. So what we're saying here is that COVID-19 has impacted some more than others. So there should be some form of continuation to protecting the worst hit segment of the population, but in a more targeted manner. And let's not also forget how SMEs can also be assisted to adapt, because not every SMEs can successfully automate or digitalize at this point of time. And many of them are actually dependent on big firms and export-oriented firms. And it's very difficult for SMEs and the lower-income groups to be able to adapt on its own. So I think the newly created funds should be targeted towards creating new impetus for growth for this group of people.
What are your thoughts on the government's targeted loan moratorium move as opposed to a universal one?
I think come September, most of the loan moratorium will expire, except for those who are highly targeted. But I guess what the government is trying to do, as far as I can see, is to encourage restructuring of a loan rather than an extension of the moratorium period indefinitely. But you will have people falling through the cracks if this is done. But I think on a net basis, I think there should be greater participation, perhaps from the developmental financial institution as well, the DFIs, to come in, to step in, and to perhaps assist. It depends on which. If you are from agriculture, then there is agriculture back FDI or SME back FDI. I think we should, DFIs. So I think we need to see a bit more participation from the developmental financial institutions.
And now Budget 2021 is coming upon us very soon in November. So what do you think it will look like, especially we are still nursing this COVID-19 pandemic and of course we are facing a fiscal deficit?
Yes, in terms of recovery and how the budget can help with this recovery journey, I think it's very important for policymakers to understand or to identify areas where Malaysia has relative competitive edge, I think, with compared to, for example, our neighbouring competitors. And to be able to identify areas where we should perhaps focus a bit more, in subsectors that we can focus a bit more, so that we can help, for example, SMEs to scale up, to move up the value chain, rather than a more broader approach. But at the same time, I can understand some worst hit sectors like accommodation, like hospitality, tourism, they will still require a bit more attention because these are policy-induced shocks. At the same time, we should also need to focus on something more long-term, investment in infrastructure, which will allow us to be a bit more ready, I think, when a positive momentum or positive growth kicks in later on.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Lau Ching Chiu, Research Manager in the Economics and Business Unit at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, or IDEAS, highlighting that it's a targeted approach that is required. Especially, I think his points are very valid. Those who continue to need social protection, perhaps those in the B40 groups, and also the SMEs, because, if anything, digitalization, automation is clearly upon us, and these companies aren't going to be fast enough to adapt. So something targeted for them is necessary, especially when you think about it. SMEs account for 2/3 of Malaysia's employment and as much as 40% of GDP.
Yeah, that's why I think when we read about this peace accord in the Middle East, obviously that's another potential market for Malaysia to tap into, because ultimately SMEs might be producing stuff, goods and services that ultimately need a global market to sell to. And if America gets its act together, if Joe Biden is good for business, for example, if the Middle East is another potential market that we can tap, then that's going to be good news and cheers all around.
Yeah, but we're about to head into the 8 a.m. news bulletin, and after that, the breakfast grill, where I will be speaking to Her Excellency Kamala Lakhdé, U.S. Ambassador to Malaysia. Stay tuned for that. That's going to be happening in a few minutes. But up next, a special song brought to you by Mercedes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.